Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Yasmina Reza's play God of Carnage rivals August Osage County for most Broadway performances in the 21st century. This popular black comedy makes its debut in Tulsa this weekend as Odeum Theater Company and Midwestern Theater Troupe jointly produce the play. A playground incident between two boys ends in two broken teeth. God of Carnage depicts two couples' attempt to meet, reconcile, and mediate the conflict. But as the title suggests, as the meeting and evening wears on, facades are dropped, verbal and physical conflicts escalate, and we find two couples capable of being every bit as childish as the offspring that initiated the events. For this Tulsa production, God of Carnage features two real-life theatrical couples, John and Sarah Crunkleton, and Whitson Hannah and Aaron Scarberry, who by turn ally and antagonize one another in a frank but hilarious exchange on everything from misogyny and homophobia to marriage dynamics. God of Carnage opens Friday evening at the Nightingale Theater and continues Fridays and Saturdays through May 23rd. My guests today are Whit Hannah, who portrays Alan, a corporate lawyer, and Will Carpenter, who's directing the production. Will Carpenter, Whit Hannah, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Rich.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Tell us about this collaboration between Odeum Theater and Midwestern Theater Troupe. How did this come about?
Well, we were approached by John and Sarah Crunkleton, who run the Nightingale Theater, about particular show God of Carnage. And it was something that had been on our plate for a while as a show that we had wanted to do, and we jumped all over it, really. So we've done shows in their space before, The Nightingale. We did Tate Award-winning Gruesome Playground Injuries was performed there. We did Neighborhood 3, Resurrection of Doom. That was a fun piece. So we were familiar with them, familiar with the space. And Will and I just got done doing Reservoir Dogs with them last October, which was a blast, to say the least. You rarely get to tackle a Quentin Tarantino film on stage.
On stage, exactly. But in fact, actually, that actually does work out well, that particular show, because it's basically one set for the most part.
It translated remarkably. We were very impressed.
Now, Will, what was the interest in doing this particular piece, God of Carnage? You guys said it's been on your plate for a while. You wanted to do it. What is attractive about this particular piece?
Well, the play has been on the theater radar for a long time. It's never been done in Tulsa. Everyone was chomping to get the rights to do it. We got the rights, and we wanted to do it with John and Sarah Crunkleton. And we were fortunate enough to have the time in our schedules and in between kids and jobs and life to be able to do it with them.
Yeah. And well, really tell us a little about this play. What is the most attractive about this play as a director for doing this particular piece? I mean, it's a funny play. It's also... Well, you're watching two marriages sort of unravel right before your eyes over a typical incident that, as parents, we've all probably had to deal with at one point or another, a childhood incident between two kids.
I can't say how much this play makes me laugh. It's billed as a black comedy. It originally was written in French in 2006, went to Broadway, translated, and the translation works really well, and it's just wonderful because the piece is done without an intermission, and for me, it's like a piece of jazz. And I know you'll recognize this if you saw the movie Whiplash, which I know you did. The piece has so many units and beats and phrases that to put an intermission in there would be to kill the rhythm of it. And the actors, I'm really fortunate enough to be working with four of the best, not only directors here in town, but four fantastic actors that are able to sing and phrase this and go through the ups and downs and the fights and the arguments and the nuances and the subtleties that the piece demands. And I think when somebody comes to witness this piece, they will be pretty much opened into a little window of life. And it's disturbing. Yeah. But it's also very humorous, and I think there's going to be a lot of nodding in the audience when people see it. And like, yes, you do that too. And you know, sometimes I just don't like you.
Now, the piece, for those who are not familiar with God of Carnage, there's an incident before the play starts in which two childhood kids are fighting among, they have a little fight because one won't invite the other person to do that. and a couple of teeth are knocked out in the course of it. Mm-hmm. And so the two couples come together to sort of, you know, I assume, figure out, well, what are we going to do about this? Who's paying for the dentist? All that sort of stuff. And we pick it up from there. What happens?
Well, this setup is such that these parents are meeting because their children have gotten into an altercation. One of them has violently broken two teeth of another child, and they are having this kind of parent conference to do the civil thing and smooth the rough edges, so to speak. And of course, everybody has their personal agenda when it comes to what's going on here. My character in particular, I don't think he would be there if he wasn't dragged there. And that's pretty evident right off the top. I'm not giving anything away there. Whereas the woman who plays Veronica, who is also my wife in real life, is very much wanting to satiate and do the civil thing and have these children come to some sort of agreement with each other and get
it
all.
She wants a kumbaya moment.
Exactly. So you kind of set up this natural conflict almost from the start of, okay, well, I don't think this is necessary, and I think this is super necessary, and it kind of takes off from there. And then shortly into it, minus all the, you know, gentle smiles and nice cordial nods to each other, an event happens, which I don't want to give away, that kind of bonds the entire group together. They go through a shared experience. And I think that glue of that event then leads to the kind of demasking that happens from then on out. These characters just slowly but surely begin to take their masks off and speak truth. And that's what's so fascinating about the play. You know, going back to what you were asking about why we chose this piece, I think anytime you look at any kind of piece of theater, you're always looking at the writing first. And the writing in this piece is just extraordinary. It's such, I equate it to, a good piece of writing is like a treasure map. And if you follow it correctly, you're going to get the treasure at the end. And the treasure at the end of this piece is just so extraordinary. And the map itself is so much fun to follow that was initially what drew not only the company, but me as an actor. Ooh, I really want to dig into this and get all those meaty parts out. So when it first came out and we all read it, I think everybody, most of the theater community in town who read it, were like, oh, man, this is a wonderful treasure map.
And I think the thing about the writing of Yasmina Reza is that it is written in a way, it's like actors really treasure this because it's sort of written, I don't want to say it's not highbrow, it's not middlebrow, but it's somewhere in between there. And there's a lot of room for the actors to act. And I think that's what makes, from what I read, is what makes this piece and a lot of her pieces really work, is there's a lot of openness for the actor to really sort of create their own character through the words.
Well, that's always our challenge as actors and artists, is to take the piece that is in front of you, interpret it in your way, serve the story still, do your job, first and foremost, tell the story, but also find the nuances in there that appeal to you personally. And for me as a director, it's a joy to watch two married couples in real life, which we've cross-cast. So it's really interesting some nights to watch Witt look at his wife across the room, his real-life wife, and have a complete argument, which they may have had just a few hours ago.
Now, this is really interesting because I thought you would actually have them cast as couples. And it's John and Sarah Crunkleton and Witt and Aaron Scarberry. And I would think you would actually do them as couples, but you've actually cross-promoted them.
Well, we're just that crazy.
Yeah.
It's also a thing of, that was who best fit those parts. Uh-huh. And it's worked out real well in the sense that Veronica and Alan have a lot of conflict in the play, and that's played by me and my wife, so we get to have a lot of legitimate conflict on stage. It's somewhat cathartic. We don't have to take any of that home, obviously. It's was well cast that way. I wouldn't say it's typecasting, because none of us are really as mean-spirited as these characters.
The incident you don't want to mention is somewhat interesting. It is something you don't often see on the stage.
No, it is not. And it's technically interesting to pull
off. I would imagine it would be.
And if for no other reason for people to might want to come and just watch this event that happens, really.
But let me stop you for a second, because out of this event, you said, as you refer to it, the characters demask. And what happens is you see this veneer of civility just utterly disappear, and you see their true natures, and their natures, it becomes quite evident why you have two kids fighting and knocking out teeth.
It is. You know, you look at the setup for the play is obviously a violent act, and then throughout the course of the play, she keeps revisiting violence. She revisits violence in a metaphorical sense. She revisits violence in a very physical sense that happens on stage. And she's kind of over and over and over again giving you the argument pro and con of violence. And the characters are constantly switching sides. They're either pro-violence or con-violence, or they're committing a violent act while they're talking about being con-violence, which is just a wonderful hypocrisy that she's written into almost every single character.
Well, let's tell us the characters, because they're kind of archetypes, and it gives the actors a lot of room to sort of create their own character, if you will. For example, Whit is playing this corporate lawyer who, as he mentioned earlier, would rather be anywhere else than right there. In fact, he's on his cell phone all the time, and he actually says this term of God of Carnage is in the title of the play. Tell us about this character and each one of these characters, because they're really interesting archetypes.
Well, Whit's wife, played by Sarah Crunkleton, she's really the most ambiguous one. We don't really know what she does. She says she's into wealth management.
Right.
Well, that's a wide open door, so we don't know really what her story is. We know she's very anxious. She has anxiety issues. She's the one who's trying to keep it together, keep it together, keep it together.
And it's really interesting, because I've read accounts where she was wealth management, and maybe that was a person who sort of manages money. I've also read accounts where basically she was in charge of spending Alan's money.
Either that, or we're kind of coming from the tact that she came from money and she watches the money while Alan goes off and does his lawyer thing.
Right.
On the other side, John Crunkleton, he sells household goods, and there's a
sort of a self-made man.
He's a self-made man. I think he's the most blue collar of all the characters. And then his wife, played by Erin Scarberry, she is a writer, but she works part time at a bookstore and an art gallery, right? And so she has issues, but she's kind of like the savior of the show. So you have these four characters who are constantly exchanging views with each other. They're on each other's side one moment, they're at each other's throats the next, and it happens so fluidly in such a lyrical way that you're not aware of really what to watch, which is a great problem to have as an audience, because it's all so interesting. I've been watching rehearsals now for a month and a half, and I just told the actors the other night, I know it was a good rehearsal when I didn't really know what to watch, because I could watch you for 5 minutes, and then there's this person and that, and then the alliances that are forming and breaking up. It's challenging to watch, and that is good theater. That's when it lights you up, and that's why we do it.
And what really interesting, because the topics of conversation really have nothing to do with the little childhood altercation. It's more, you know, it's about misogyny. It's about homophobia. It's all these serious subjects. Take me into the actor's mind of getting into that out of this sort of prompt, which begins with this childhood altercation.
Well, again, the playwright makes it pretty easy for us to go from one topic to another. And once the masks start coming off, you know, I think as anybody in normal society, you have this kind of polite, cordial exchange with, you know, other random human being that you've been forced into a situation with. And then if the mask starts coming off, you slowly start peeling your mask off and going, oh, really? You feel that way about this subject?
Oh, so you're that way, are you?
Oh, yeah. So let's have a real conversation here if that's the way you feel. Of course, at some point they start drinking, which helps, obviously. In any situation, you add libations to it and the tongue gets a little bit looser. For Alan, for my character in particular, which I can speak the most about, he's checked out. Obviously, he's on his cell phone. He's having an event happen in his lawyer life that is tremendously bad. So he's really concerned about what's going on there and not so concerned about this, which in turn is making his wife very anxious. And she's getting more and more anxious as time goes on. Veronica's character, my wife in real life, is very stalwart. We are here for a reason, until her husband decides to suddenly throw everything under the bus and say, I'm checked out too. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to give too much away because that's part of the beauty of watching.
Well, there is a hamster involved.
There is a hamster. There's a very all-important hamster involved, which it's just she has very brilliantly written a mode to have a broader conversation about societal issues, violence in society, and let these four random people who do not really know each other express that. And you also get this lovely view of the reality of a marriage juxtaposed to what we project on society. Yeah. Our marriage is.
Your image of
exactly.
Marriage.
Yeah. And watching that facade come down, that wall disintegrate, is very interesting. We talk often that my marriage to my wife in the play has already, the wall's already fallen down. It's pretty obvious. But in the structure of the play, you're getting to watch the other marriage fall apart for the first time. It may have somewhat taken some chips on that wall, but in theater, it's always good to do things live for the first time. And we play this show that this is really the first time they've gone at each other. And of course, that creates alliances. I start allying with him. At first, I'm like, yeah. I don't like this guy. He's a pansy, I guess, is the way I would look at it. And then, he's kind of switches, and I'm like, all right, this guy's kind of cool, And the same happens for the women. They clearly don't like each other. The other thing that's really nice about the piece, which Will was talking about, it's hard to watch, is really nobody leaves the stage. Nobody ever leaves the stage except for a brief moment. People leave the stage, and the only people who are ever left on stage alone are the opposite couple. So you really only get to see one couple alone on stage have a legitimate conversation with each other, which is really eye-opening, too.
Today is Orson Welles' birthday.
Did not.
Did you know that way?
Did not.
I learned that by listening to KWGS this morning. And he said, you give the audience a hint. You don't spell it out for them. Let them fill it in, and that's what makes theater a social event. You engage the audience. And what I love about theater and wonderful theater always makes you feel a little uncomfortable because of what you're identifying with in the piece, mm-hmm. or what you find familiar, but also makes you a little squeamish, like, oh boy, I've done that, or I've seen that, or boy, it's uncomfortable. But the audience is always going to say, well, I'm glad it's them and not me. And that's the beauty of the play. And that's why I think people are really, really going to enjoy this piece.
My guests today are Will Carpenter, who's directing. Whit Hanna portrays Alan in Odeum Theater and Midwestern Theater Troupe's joint production of God of Carnage by Yasmina Reza at the Nightingale Theater. It opens this Friday evening and runs Fridays and Saturdays through May 23rd. And they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. Well, as you mentioned, you have two real-life couples swapping spouses and portraying the two couples in this. I would assume that sort of gives an actor a little bit of comfort, but also maybe a little extra tension. What's it been like working through the rehearsal process with two couples dealing with their real life and dealing with the life of this play?
Oh, be careful with.
I would add on to that all four of us are accomplished directors on top of that. So it's...
Which made it a joy
oh, boy.
To direct.
I bet.
There's nothing easier than directing for really outspoken directors. They've done a great job, though. I believe
the mask is back up.
Yeah. Oh, is that it? There it is.
It's kind of like herding super cats, I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's been moments like, well, Whit, what if you move stage left? Well, you know what we could do as an option, Willie? Yes, Whitson, what should we try?
It's interesting. The dynamic between John and Sarah, they've worked together. They've run that theater for 20 years, and they know each other inside and out, backwards and forwards. Whereas my wife and I have very rarely worked together, and we have never performed together on stage.
Really?
Really. And our first experience with each other was not an enjoyable one. I love her to death. I love you, honey. But she is a very smart, not only actor, but director. And it was like having a full-on headbutt with a ram most nights because she had legitimate opinions of the way she thought things should go.
And you it did, too.
And I did, too. And it wasn't that one of us was right. It was just there wasn't a lot of compromise. So this particular time through is kind of a new era for us, and it's actually been really enjoyable. It's very nice to be able to go home and work on a script, something you usually do by yourself, you know, in the shower, on the toilet, or wherever you do it. I do it in those places, unfortunately. And this situation, we could go outside after the kids were to bed and run lines or talk about beats or talk about what's going on here or say, hey, I'm going to try this. Why don't you do that here? And that was really good.
Does it help the fact that you're oftentimes antagonists to each other as opposed to allegedly, you know, allied together?
Couple? As a couple, especially as a couple with children, I think, you know, the pitfalls of how dangerous, you know, everything you do and say can be. So we've definitely had our arguments, but we've also had our makeups. It's interesting, our two characters in the show have a brief moment where they're kind of on the same side, but really they're the archetypal ends. They're the bookends, whereas the other two characters kind of vacillate in the middle, which makes this nice little machine. In the show, she gives you one stalwart on one side, one stalwart on the other, and then lets the other two play both ends against the middle.
And from my standpoint, it's really unique to see two married couples come to rehearsal in real life. They had their day, however their day was, good, bad, tired, got this going on, you got kids, and they have all these things they're juggling. Then for the 2 hours we're working on the play, all that goes away, and then we kind of jumble it up into a different mold. They go in there and then they leave in the same cars. It's really unique to watch. It's very surreal.
My wife and I were traveling the other day to rehearsal, and she said to me in the car, she said, do you ever think that this is funny, this thing that we do? And I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, we go and say words that aren't ours with people who are our friends and play people who are not ourselves. We basically make believe for an hour and a half like we're children. We go in a room and make believe for an hour and a half. And I don't know that I'd ever thought about it in those terms. And that's the truth. I mean, you go, it's such an interesting thing to go and make believe you're somebody else for a certain amount of time. And then to go and do that with your life partner, who you are not make-believing most of the time, is reality, you know, than just to go put on another. We're going to just, you know, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah, people would call that crazy.
Most people would think that's crazy.
I thought so, too.
Well, we look forward to the results on stage. God of Carnage by Yasmina Reza. Now, your character comes up with this term. What does God of Carnage allude to?
Well, in reference of the show, he says that he believes in the God of Carnage and that the god has ruled uninterruptedly since the dawn of time. And that's kind of his standpoint, that the world is full of chaos, and it always has been, and people will beat and murder and commit violent acts, and it will never change, and it always has been that way. Whereas Veronica's side is, you know, Western society, we're civil, we've got, you know, morality, all of these things, and that's the natural conflict.
We have a conflict that we need to have resolved.
Exactly. And the way she's written the play is so brilliant because you have these characters, and everybody does this, that espouse to morality or a higher social value or whatever, and are at the same time committing a violent act. So the hypocrisy is just like built in, whereas my character has moments where he's espousing to, you know, I'm a caveman, I'm a Neanderthal, and he's committing some sort of act of kindness while he's doing it. And she has brilliantly written that in. It's very funny, those moments, because it's this kind of, we're screaming at each other. Oh, I love you, let me pet you. And I'm back to screaming at each other. And it's just, it's really humorous on stage to see that. But it goes to show this kind of narrative she's weaving that we all like to believe that we can commit self-improvement, but it doesn't really exist. It's not something that we're really capable of. We are animals by nature. And whether we sit around like peacocks with their feathers all folded and talk about how great we are, at the same time, there's one feather in that ruffle that's really messed up.
Is that more intriguing or is that true?
What do you mean? Is it
more? We are surrounded by chaos and conflict and all that. And do we ever really get resolution?
I think the open-endedness of that conversation is the point of the show. I think that she's trying to show us, hey, you keep having this conversation over and over and over again, but does anything get resolved? It's very interesting the way she ends this show.
Sounds like politics.
Well,
I'm beginning to see how Will directs the play. He basically has all these directors who have their own opinion of the show, and he's just like the Socratic master asking all these questions. Is this how you direct?
Oh, is that what it's called? No, I think it's tolerance is what it's called. If I can just keep them all in one space for an hour and a half, I think I have succeeded. And people who bear witness to this play will probably see the same thing. So.
It is. It's like herding cats, I'm sure.
All right. Well, God of Carnage opens Friday at the Nightingale Theater, continues Fridays and Saturdays through May 23rd. Will and Whit, thanks very much for joining us.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much, Rich.
Will Carpenter is director. Whit Hanna portrays Alan, the corporate lawyer, in Yasmina Reza's God of Carnage, produced by Odeum Theater and Midwestern Theater Troupe at the Nightingale Theater, opening this Friday and running Fridays and Saturdays through May 23rd. For information and tickets, visit nightingaletheater.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.